Previously, Saroji explained on four kinds of happiness. Among them, Nikkhamasukha is the kind of happiness one gets by being free from vattu-kamma, objective sensuousness, and kilesa-kamma, subjective sensuousness. So by being free from two kinds of karma, vattu-kamma, objective sensuousness, and kilesa-kamma, subjective sensuousness, one can get Nikkhamasukha. So yogis who are here on retreat, you are now free from the field of karma. You are now free from the field of objective sensuousness, vattu-kamma. But yogis still, they need to practice to be free from kilesa-kamma, subjective sensuousness. So, to be free from kilesa-kamma, subjective sensuousness, one needs to practice jhana, absorption. One needs to ordain as a monk or a nun, and one needs to practice in order to develop vipassana panya, insight knowledge, magga panya, super mundane knowledge, path knowledge, and if one can, one has to practice till one attains arahata Magajnana. So, every wholesome deed is free from karma, and the kind of wholesome deed that has alobha, non-greed as chief, can be called Nikkhamasukha. So by developing wholesome deed which has alobha, non-greed as chief, one can automatically gain Nikkhamasukha. So it is not easy to explain Nikkhamasukha without explaining about jhana. Saroji was explaining on Punyakriya-vattu, and Saroji was explaining on the third kind, bhavana, mental development practice. So Saroji still will explain the meaning of bhavana briefly. And when explaining the meaning of bhavana, it has got to be explained comparing with jhana. So if Nikkhamasukha is to be explained, then people will understand only if jhana is also explained. So yesterday, Saraji said he will explain on two kinds of jhana. So today, Saraji will explain on these two kinds. So, Nikkhama is explained as wholesome mind, which has alobha, non-greed, as chief. And the text explains Nikkhama as wholesome mind that has alobha as chief, and also the occurrence of wholesome deed is also called Nikkhama. Because wholesomeness is opposite of karma. So if Nikkhama is to be explained, kusala, wholesomeness, has also got to be explained. So kusala is wholesomeness that loosens the craving and the clinging that has been deeply seated throughout the realm of existences. So throughout the realm of existences, there has been clinging on sensual objects, clinging with lobha greed, and clinging with wrong view. So this clinging has been deeply rooted that one cannot remove these clingings all at once. So it is compared to a post which is deeply posted in the ground. If a pillar is deeply in the ground, the pillar is kind of homogeneous with the ground, that one cannot pull it out. One cannot pull out the pillar because it has been deeply in the ground. So in order to pull out the pillar, one needs to loosen it first, then one can pull it out. So throughout the realm of existences, there has been clinging on sense objects. So one cannot just remove these clingings and cravings all at once, but one needs to loosen it. One needs to loosen these clingings and cravings on these sense objects, because these clingings and cravings have been deeply rooted. It is not easy to
remove them, so one needs to loosen, weaken these cravings and clingings by mental development practice. So one needs to develop kusala in order to loosen and weaken these cravings and clingings. And when they become loose, one can remove them. So with jhana, one can loosen these clingings and cravings. One can loosen it so that it can be easily removed after it becomes loosened. Kusala is made up of two parts, ku and sala. Ku means detestable, disgusting states. Whether it is arising in oneself or others, if one has greed, the mind will be polluted, dirty, impure. So, if there are these inferior states, then the mind will be inferior and low. And when there is dissatisfaction, anger, hatred, grudge, these are also detestable, disgusting states. So when these disgusting states, inferior states, arise in the mind becomes inferior and low. There will be lack of metta, loving kindness, lack of compassion, and the mind will be detestable, disgusting, inferior, and low. If there is delusion, conceit, also the mind will be detestable, disgusting, and low. So such inferior, disgusting states are called kuchita because they are disgusting. And because they are also inferior, they are also called papa. So these disgusting states are called kuchita. And because they are also inferior, they are also called papa. And these inferior states has been strongly rooted throughout the round of existences. So with wholesomeness, one should loosen. In Pali, it is called sala. Sala means to make loose, to shake. And kampa means to shake and to loose so that it will be very shaken and very loose. And vedansana means to uproot. So with wholesomeness, one loosen, one shakes, and one uproot these inferior states. So Sharaji gives a sample when the pillar is deep in the ground, one cannot pull it out right away. One needs to dig the ground in order to make it loose, in order to shake, and finally one can pull out the pillar. So in the same way, these inferior disgusting states has been strongly rooted throughout the samsara, so it is not easy to remove it. So one needs to make it loose, one needs to shake it so that it will become very loose, very shaking. And finally, these inferior states can be totally uprooted. So kusala, wholesomeness, is the opposite of kama, and it is opposite of all unwholesomeness. So every kusala, every wholesomeness, is free from kama as well as all the other inferior states. That's why it is called nikama. Throughout one's life, one has been clinging onto sensual objects, thinking that it is real happiness, misunderstanding them as real happiness. So they are clinging, craving onto these sensual objects. And also they are clinging onto good existences. So one needs to loosen them, shake them with loki samatha jhana, mundane kind of absorption. And people have wrong view on nama rupa. People have wrong view on jiva atta, individual soul, and brahma atta. They have wrong belief that this brahma atta, supreme soul, is controlling every being. And they also have wrong views with conceit, mana. So vipassana jnana, insight knowledge, and ariya magga jnana, path knowledge can uproot these clingings and cravings. So throughout one's life, there will be clinging with lust, clinging with wrong view, and because such clinging becomes so firmly rooted, one needs to practice bhavana, mental development practice, so as to make loose of these cravings and clinging. One needs to weaken them. One needs to make them shake to become loose. And with jhana, one has to loosen them and weaken them. And Saraji will continue to explain on jhana. First of all, Saraji explained the meaning of jhana. Jhana is defined as aramana jayati upanijayati jhana. It means that jhana means closely contemplating on the object of meditation completely. So it means closely contemplating completely on the object. So there are two kinds of jhana, aramanupa nijhana and lakkhanupa nijhana. In order to get mundane kind of jhana, in order to get mundane absorption, one needs to contemplate on beings, the ones who are contemplating metta as jhana. One needs to contemplate on the being as object. And to contemplate on karuna, compassion jhana, in order to gain karuna jhana, one needs to contemplate on suffering being. And the ones who are practicing Pathavi Kasina, one contemplates on Pathavi, earth as meditation, earth as meditation object. So one needs to contemplate on these objects. One needs to closely contemplate completely on these objects. And they attain upajara jhana. They attain neighborhood jhana. So these are called aramanupa nijhana. And by practicing aramanupa nijhana is to make the mind calm and tranquil. That's why they are called samatha jhana. And they are mundane kind of jhana. So briefly, lokiya jhana, mundane kind of jhana, is called samatha jhana.
Dutiya lakkhanupa nijhana sura ga ro vipassana nyan mai nyan phu nyan go be kaw yu tha ba le vipassana ga ro yauna tiya ru ye tabawa lakkhana ne tamya lakkhana ko si lakkhana ne tuyi lakkhana go shu pi ro ariya mai nyan phu nyan ga ro Nibbāya ējāṁbhū tīcā māṅkāne tathā lakkhanāgu kāpīrā śūrāmholu turugu lakkhanupā nijhānālu khovāre. Arīrēgā ūtasainā hārīrāvdā pyāvāme solu shīye ဥပဒနာဇာန်လို့ပဲဥပဆနာဇာနာလို့ပဲပြောကြပါစို့အဲ့ဒါလို့ဆိုလို့ရှိရင်ပြောရတာရှင်းပါလားဒီတော့တိသမထဇာနာနေဥပဆနာဇာနာဒီလိုဆိုလို့ရှိရင်ရှင်းပါလားဒီတော့ဒီစကားအရဆိုလို့ရှိရင်ဇာနာဟာသမထဇာနာနဲ့ဥပဆနာဇာနာဆိုတာပါနှစ်မျိုးတည်သွားပါပြီ
The second type, Lakkhanupanijjhana, consists of vipassana jnana, insight knowledge, magga jnana, path knowledge, and phala jnana, fruition knowledge. Vipassana contemplates on the nature of nama rupa, the nature of mind,and matter. So Vipassana contemplates on Sabhava Lakkhana, unique characteristic, unique or individual characteristics, and Samanya Lakkhana, common characteristic. And Ariya Magga Jnana, path knowledge, contemplates on thepeacefulness of Nibbana. Path knowledge contemplates on Tatha Lakkhana.
Ariya Bhuvathe Vyodhami.
Mama. Ariya Magga Jnana and Phala Jnana. Path and fruition knowledge contemplates on Tatha Lakkhana.
Peacefulness. Sandhi Lakkhana.
Tatha Lakkhana and Sandhi Lakkhana, the characteristic of Nibbana. So, to be easy to remember, this Lakkhanupanijjhana can be called Vipassana Jhana. So, to make it simple, some Lokiya Jhana, mundane kind of Jhana,can be called Samatha Jhana. So Aramanupanijjhana can be called Samatha Jhana. And Lakkhanupanijjhana can be called Vipassana Jhana. So to remember it in a simple way, there are two kinds of Jhana, Samatha Jhana and Vipassana Jhana.So, the difference between the two is that Samatha Jhana contemplates on concept, Panyati, concept as object. And Vipassana Jhana contemplates on the unique individual characteristic and common characteristics of Nama Rupa,phenomena. So, Samatha Jhana, one has to contemplate on concept. One has to contemplate on something that does not really exist in practicing for Samatha Jhana. In the practice of Vipassana Jhana,One has to contemplate on what really exists as they really are. So to practice Samatha Jhana, one needs to contemplate on a single object,so that the mind does not go elsewhere. So one does not need to change the object. When practicing Samatha Jhana, one fixes his or her mind on a single object. So when contemplating Mitta, one contemplates on being as object and practicing karuna, one contemplates on dukkhita, suffering being as object. And when practicing kasina, one contemplates on specific single object of earth and so on. But vipassana jhana, one has to contemplate on various objects in order to know the characteristic of these various nama and rupa, mind and matter. So practicing samatha jhana, one can easily attain samadhi, concentration, so one can get collectedness of mind easily. So it is said that samatha jhana is near to happiness, because one can gain piti sukha, joy and happiness within short time by practicing samatha jhana. So practicing samatha jhana is compared to a person who stays at home. Staying at home, there are not much distractions. The person stays calm and steady at home. And staying at home, he, she gets little knowledge. So practicing vipassana meditation is compared to someone who also goes out of his or her house. Going out of his or her house, going here and there, the person gets various kind of knowledge. Practicing vipassana, one has to contemplate on various objects in the mind and the body. So by practicing vipassana, when one develops kanika samadhi, when one's momentary concentration becomes strong, the person experiences dukkha vedana, unpleasant sensations. So it is said that vipassana jhana is near to dukkha vedana, unpleasant sensations. But the one who stays at home, his or her knowledge is very limited. So it is compared to samatha jhana. Someone who goes out of the house, because the person goes here and there, it is tiring, but the person gains a variety of knowledge in many aspects. So this is compared to vipassana jhana. So practicing vipassana jhana, one has to contemplate on all the object that arises. If one does not contemplate on every object that arises, then it is not vipassana. So in brief, samatha jhana is practiced to gain samadhi, concentration. So in order to make the mind calm, tranquil, and concentrated, one practices samatha jhana. But practicing vipassana jhana, one has to contemplate on all the object that arises, and one contemplates on objects that really exist in the way they are. So now yogis understand the difference between samatha and vipassana. So the practice in order to keep the mind calm, tranquil and concentrated is called samatha jhana, contemplating on sabhava lakkhana, unique or individual characteristic, and samanya lakkhana, common characteristics of nama rupa, are called vipassana jhana. So also, some practices vipassana based on samatha jhana. So they practice lokiya jhana, mundane kind of absorption, and after attaining first jhana, they contemplate on this jhana, either the jhana or jhana consciousness, or any factor of this jhana. Based on that, they practice vipassana. So after practicing the first jhana, they contemplate either on this jhana factor, either on the jhana consciousness, and they practice vipassana. So it is called samatha jhanika. They practice vipassana based on the jhana that they had obtained. So they are called samatha jhanika, having samatha vehicle in order to attain nibbana. But there are also those who do not practice samatha as the foundation. They only practice vipassana. They are called sutta vipassana jhanika. So such people, they do not have to practice samatha as foundation. They contemplate on whatever nama rupa phenomena is arising in oneself. So one notes whatever object that arises without missing. So such people are called sutta vipassana jhanika. They practice merely vipassana as vehicle in order to attain nibbana. So yogis who are here, they are practicing vipassana. They do not practice samatha as the foundation, so they are called sutta vipassana jhanika. Whether the person, if the person wants lokiya samatha jhana, if the person wants this mundane absorption, or whether the person practices for happiness, whichever case it is, by practicing as samatha jhanika person, one needs to attain upajara jhana, neighborhood jhana, and appana jhana, attainment jhana, in order to get mundane jhana. In other words, they need to develop upajara samadhi, neighborhood concentration, and appana samadhi, attainment concentration, in order to get this lokiya jhana. But sutta vipassana jhanika, the one who practices vipassana alone, they need to develop khanika samadhi, momentary concentration. So khanika samadhi, momentary concentration, means the mind fall calm and collected on the object. So whatever object arises, whether it is nama or rupa, whether it is mind or matter, when the mind falls calm and collected on the object, Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, develops. So there are three kinds of samadhi: Upajara Samadhi, neighborhood concentration; Appana Samadhi, attainment concentration; and Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration. Yogis who are here, they are noting presently arising object with sustained mindfulness, so they are developing Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration. So yogis who are practicing mere vipassana, they are called Sutta Vipassana Janika, and they are developing Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration. Yogis who are here, they are not Samatha Janika, so they do not need to learn how to practice Samatha. Yogis who are here, they are Sutta Vipassana Janika, who practices Vipassana alone. So they only need to learn how to develop Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, both from theoretical and practical aspect. When Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, becomes very strong, it has the same quality with Appana Samadhi, attainment concentration. So next day, Saraji will explain how this Kanika Samadhi, strong momentary concentration, can be compared with the Appana Samadhi, attainment concentration, from both theoretical and practical aspects. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.